Galatians chapter 4, let's all stand. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love the Christian life. I love being involved in everything I can be. I love this time of year. I love it. Well, we're going to talk about the subject of zeal tonight. Now, we'll put on the website, here's the title, Zeal is a Good Thing. But if you looked at my title, there's a little parenthesis there, and it says zeal, rightly directed, because we're going to talk about that. And this is one of the things that Paul points out to the Galatians people, is he taught them to be zealous, and they had a zeal for Christ. But somebody came in and misdirected their zeal. So think about that. Remember how Galatians starts, by the way? You want to just go over there? Why don't we just go to chapter 1 real quick? And so you've got the first five verses of greeting, salutation. And then where does he go right away in verse 6? I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then we go back. So I'll have you, with that in mind, that's the tone of the book, by the way. That's the tone of the book. There's a lot of things in Galatians, a lot of things that are profitable. Basically, this is a letter written to a group of people that's gotten off track. They're still zealous, but their zeal is now evilly affected, misdirected. So think about that. Verse 11, I am afraid of you, lest I have... Notice the tone. It sounds like we got the same tone here. Verse 11. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me. Think about that. As an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. And so they embraced Paul. They had this wonderful relationship. They were saved. They listened. They believed the doctrine. And then something's happened. Verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have, now think about how close they were to Paul, how much he affected their life. If it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So what's happened, folks? But I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And what he's saying is, you've gotten off track. And I've got to tell you you're off track. And I'm going to tell you why you're off track. And remember when you used to listen to me? You remember when I led you to Christ? Remember the direction you used to go? And then if you'll notice in verse number 17, the first word there is what? They. Okay, so I don't know who they were, but somebody's come in. They zealously affect you. So there's a group of people that have come in after Paul that has zealously affected them. They zealously affect you, watch this, but not well. So folks, you can have zeal about the wrong things. You can be zealous about the wrong thing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, name and message, and it is. Zeal is a good thing, but you better make sure it's rightly directed. Okay? Because there are a lot of people that are zealous out there. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Think about it. The people that are the most zealous about what they believe, sadly, are not Christians. I mean, come on. And so they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. Now notice what it says in verse number 18. We're talking about good things here. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a what?
Good thing.
Good thing. And not only when I am present. And isn't that interesting? We're going to talk a little bit about zeal tonight. You know, some people can be zealous as long as they're around someone who has zeal. But Paul said, you know, I shouldn't have to be present. And we're going to talk about developing zeal in your life and pointing it in the right direction and being zealous about good things, because it's a good thing to be zealous about good things. But it's a very dangerous thing to become zealous about silly things, foolish things, undoctrinal things. And so let's look at this tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard. Wow, boy, this has been good. And wow, the whole day, thank you, Lord. I just feel like you've been with us and you've met with us and song service, everything. Everything's been so good. And so, Lord, we want to learn. We just want to learn. I love the Bible. And Lord, help us, dear God, to listen to this and to, you know, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Lord, as we're getting ready to go into a new year, if we're not careful, it's so easy to just serve the Lord and just kind of do it almost robotically, clinically, just kind of go through the motions. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we go into a new year, you'd really deal with our hearts, Lord, and help us in this matter. And Lord, help us to maybe relight a fire that needs to be relit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. We read over in chapter 1, the background, the purpose, the main purpose of the book, is because there's been a group of people that have come in and taught false doctrine. Matter of fact, they said, you know what? I'm sure they came in like this. You got to be careful. I'm going to tell you what, we love Paul. Paul's a good man. I'm glad he came through here. Look what he's established here. Now, you know what's coming. But, and here they're coming in and they're going to add works to salvation. And so next thing you know, they've perverted the gospel. You know, I appreciate your pastor, Brother Ross. Let me tell you something, man. I'm going to tell you, we're so blessed to have him in our community. When people start that, I'm just waiting for the knife to be slid between the ribs in my back because I know what's coming. And it's okay. But folks, we got to be wise. We got to be wise. And so he said this, when I left you, basically this is what Paul said, when I left you, you were zealous in a good thing. Man, we had this thing up running. We got a church established. Doctrinally, you were sound. You know what? We had a wonderful relationship to the point where we were so close and you were so loving and accepting. I don't think Jesus Christ would have been accepted any more than I was. That's a humbling thing to write, humbling thing to say. And he said, even to the point where you would have plucked your own eyes out. And then all of a sudden he brings this up and he says, am I become your enemy? And so all of a sudden the whole relationship's changed because folks, people cannot attack true doctrine without attacking people that teach true doctrine. That's why the but probably came at some point because, you know, they've got to undermine his credibility. How many times does Paul, even in this book, have to defend his apostleship? Hey, Paul's a good man. I think he probably steps over bounds a little bit, calling himself an apostle. Okay, so you got to be careful. Folks, you know, there's a lot of people who want to spread honey. But all it is just getting you used to taking what they're giving you so they can slip in the poison. And that's what's happened to a good people. This is a good group of people here. Start out on the right track, excited, doing the things of the Lord, right spirit, and all of a sudden the man who God used to bring them to Christ and establish them in the faith and teach them right doctrine now is viewed as an enemy. And he said, this is why I've become your enemy. Am I become your enemy because I, what? Tell you the truth. And boy, I'm going to tell you, listen, I'm not playing martyr, but I'm just flat telling you, every preacher in the world understands that verse. Every person, listen, I mean, you know how many times we've won people to Christ and got them grounded in the faith and watched them grow and get them going, and then next thing you know, come on, somebody on social media finds them. And next thing you know, the preacher that they loved and the preacher that they owed everything to, and you know, listen, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, here comes the butt. Yeah. All right? And so I can understand this. Paul is talking to them about this. Then he talked about, hey, these folks are very zealous. Folks, listen, folks that teach false doctrine are very zealous. Yes. Enemies of fundamentalism are very zealous. Yes. Sure. I mean, they are well organized. They are passionate. Yep. They get up every day working hard to try to destroy this type of a Bible a believing preaching church. I'm telling you, they're out there. Okay, the recovering fundamentalists. Say, preacher, I don't know who you're talking about. Good. But they're going to find some of you at some point. And next thing you know what? It's amazing. The preacher that you've always listened to and had confidence in, and all of a sudden they get you to the point where you're going, well, I don't know. All right. The Bible teaching, the doctrine. I mean, they'll redefine every word in the Bible in a way where they pervert the definition. That's what they did. They took the gospel, I don't know a pure word, the gospel, and perverted the gospel. And so that's all background. And so we've got to be, when we talk about the matter of zeal, folks, it is worthwhile to say this. You know what? They at one time were zealous in a good thing, but now they've been zealously affected, but not in a positive way. Listen, I guess I'm saying this. I want to get into the message. But zeal can be a good thing or a bad thing. Zeal rightly directed is a good thing. Zeal wrongly directed is a very bad thing. Now, having said that, I want to promote the positive side for the rest of the message. I've said as much as I have, probably will, about the negative side. But you know what, folks? I understand that zeal can be wrongly directed, but if you're going to make an impact for Christ, you have to interject zeal into your service. Zeal is a very, very important aspect of serving the Lord. Sister words in the Bible would be like fervent or fervency. If you think about the verse, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy... That's what it's talking about. And so, preacher, what is zeal? Let me just kind of lay the groundwork. First of all, zeal is a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always like starting there. To be like Jesus. I mean, that's what it's about. And so we read in Isaiah chapter 9. By the way, one of the prophetic passages that we often visit during the Christmas season is, for unto us a child is born. Brother Reiser preached out of this verse. At our banquet, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the next verse says this, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let me have you quickly go over to John chapter 2, save your place in Galatians. But the Gospel of John chapter 2, we get to see the zeal of Christ on display. I like this story. You want a good definition? I'm going to give you a good Bible definition in a minute of what zeal is. But first of all, let's watch it in action. Okay? And so we go to John chapter number 2, verse number 12. After this, speaking of Jesus, he went down to Capernaum, John 2:12, and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, yeah, this is the lowly Jesus, you know. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Watch this. The disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And one of the character traits of Jesus is that he was zealous. And so, preacher, what does that mean? The word zealous, if you look at the word, comes from a word that means heat, a fiery heat. We're going to talk a little bit about that, a burning. Have you ever got into something and been so touched by it, so challenged by it, so excited about it, that literally a fire begins to burn inside of you? That's called zeal, okay? If you want to know what zeal is, you know, have you ever taken a magnifying glass and you take it out on a sunny day and, you know, you hold it just right and you find an old leaf that is, you know, dried out and crumpled and you point that and it takes all of that sun's energy and takes it through the glass and there, it creates a laser focus and a fire begins to burn. I'm trying to help you see what zeal is. And one of the things that we need as we serve the Lord is zeal. There's got to be a fire that burns inside of us. So it's a vital ingredient in accomplishing anything good. If you're going to be involved in a good thing, bring zeal into it. Because that's a great thing. It's a necessary ingredient. But here's the warning. Watch this. The devil loves to misdirect Christian zeal. He'll send people into your life to try to affect you. Come on. We raise young people to be zealous in their service to the Lord, but the devil sees that zeal and says, all I got to do, they've got the zeal. Let's see if I can redirect it into something opposite of what God would use it for. So young people, you got to be careful. Okay? The devil will send people into your life to affect you, to encourage you to apply the zeal that you have for the Lord towards things that really don't matter. And sometimes we raise people up in an independent Baptist church and they're taught a zeal of service for God, and somehow that gets misdirected at some point, and all of their passion and zeal and fire goes into accumulating things or making money or being a success or whatever. And because we raise them with the principles that cause them to be successful in serving God, the devil's like, I'm fine with that. I'll just misdirect it. I'll get them so busy. Come on. My dad used to say, you know, get the children of Israel so busy, you know, making bricks and building Pharaoh's kingdom that they don't have time to worship and serve God anymore. And so you get that? Something I've noticed that honestly is kind of discouraging, I think convicting. The devil's zealous. The militant homosexuals are zealous. The God-hating humanists are zealous. The transgender perverts are zealous. The atheists are zealous. The liberals are zealous. Come on, just turn on the TV. The socialistic factions in our government are zealous. The communistic factions in our government are jealous, are zealous. Now watch this. You know, by the way, I remind you, if you hear the word Democrat, you need to think socialist. If you hear somebody claim to be a socialist, you better think communist. And somebody's got to blow the trumpet on this. The determined baby-killing abortionists are zealous. Why is it everybody that's passionate or passionate about the wrong things? Where's the zeal in the house of God? And so as we're going into a new year, I mean, one of the things let's cultivate, let's begin to ask God to do is stir something up. Lord, there used to be a fire that burned. Is it still burning? And maybe it is, but maybe it's diminished. Lord, help me to know how to throw some wood on the fire again. And so as we look at our place of service, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is the message. We won't be here long. But what is your place of service? Think about that. What is your place of service in your local assembly at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? In 2026, let's make sure we infuse zeal into everything that we do for the Lord. Preacher, what do you mean? Can I just put it this way real simply? Let's just turn the heat up. It's what the word means, heat. Let's just turn the heat up and say, okay, I've got a little... You know, I've kind of lost my passion of this. I'm kind of going through the motions on this. I used to be more excited about this. Honestly, it's kind of become this area of service kind of become more of a drudgery than it is an exciting thing like it used to be in my life. Well, let's turn the heat up. Let's turn the heat up. Bus workers, let's relight the fire that used to burn. Sunday school teacher, remember the first time you ever walked in that class in the first few months and the fire that burned inside of you, has it gone out? Has it gone out? Think about this. Musicians, come on, let's make sure that we find that fire again. Come on, that we're not just walking through the motions and we've sung so long and we can do it and we're not even touched by the words and we're not even touched by the message and we're just going through the motions. Man, let's find that fire again. Come on, Christian school, I'm going to tell you, you serve in an important capacity in this church. Listen, folks, the kids aren't going to bring the fire. You've got to bring the fire. And you've got to have a level of fire that lights their fire. That's called leadership. That's what we do. Okay? Think about that. Soul winners, come on. I mean, remember a time in your life when you were passionate about soul winning? You had a burden for souls and you wanted so badly to see people saved and it drove you out into the streets and it caused you to carry tracts and it caused you to talk to people. And where's the fire? Where's the fire? And so I guess as we look into the new year, I've got the calendar here and I've got it available for you back there. But you know, if I was to summarize what the entire, we'll go more into the details of it, but if I was going to summarize it, We're just going to take a month, every month, and we're going to take a different area in which we need to be zealous. The theme is be the difference. And you're not going to be the difference without zeal. You're just not. Okay, you can fill a position, but you're not going to be the difference. Okay, you can go through the motions, but you're not going to be the difference. You're not going to touch and change people if there's not a fire there. And so I was thinking as I was just looking through the monthly themes, and let me just kind of go through it, and we'll go to the house. But folks, in January, and I want you to start getting mentally ready for this. Preacher, you're challenging us to already begin to think, what's going to be my plan when it reads through the Bible? Listen, I don't want you to just come up with a plan. I want you to be zealous about the plan you come up with. No, I want you to say, you know, preacher, this is what God has led me to do, and I'm going to tell you, I can't wait every day to get into this, and this is what I'm asking God to teach me, and I've got a notebook ready to write it all down. And listen, has your Bible reading time just, you know, we're just looking at black words and white paper and just putting our time in. We're going to talk about in January. Listen, folks, if we're going to be the difference, we got to first of all make sure that there is a difference in us. And how do we do that? Be the difference by living a righteous life. Remember when your prayer life used to be exciting? You know, remember when there was a passion and a fire about it and a burning desire to get to God, and not just first thing in the morning, but all through the day, and just you understood your dependency on God and your need for God, and the relationship was sweet, and my goodness sakes, God was answering prayer, and you could give testimony to it. And now, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, Lord, my shoulder. And that's our prayer life. Think about that. We're talking about fervency in this matter of prayer. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man of health. We need to figure out what that's all talking about again. So we're gonna challenge you for a month. I want you to be zealous about living a holy life. Okay, not walking around like with a victim's mentality. Not walking around like a martyr because, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to. What? That's not zeal. I get to. I want to. Because I know it pleases the Lord. February, we're going to talk about worldwide missions. I love the month of February. I love the month of February. And we're going to put the spotlight. We're going to take that magnifying glass, kind of shift it over, and we're going to put laser focus on it, and it's all going to be about worldwide missions. And you know what? I hope you're not saying, oh, here we go again for a month. Listen, I better fortify my mind and heart. He's probably going to ask for more money. He's going to want to take on more missionaries. Oh, I mean, look how many we have. Okay, there's a few empty boxes, and it's driving the pastor crazy, so it's going to cost us. Thank you. Thank you for having a passionate desire to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I don't think that's the spirit here, but you know what? It may not be that, but it can be. Who's coming in this week? I don't know, somebody from somewhere, and you haven't prayed for them, and you don't know their names. By the way, you're gonna have all that information. Yes. First Sunday in January, you're going to have all the information you need. Right. My wife just been working very fervently, updating our missionary contact list. You're going to know the children's name. You're going to know the wife's name. But you know what, folks? We can give you every tool, but the one thing I cannot give you is fire. I can't give you zeal, because that doesn't come from your preacher. Okay, you can come around me for a while and you can get excited for Sunday and it'll last till about Monday afternoon. But if you get it from God, come on, you get it from God every day, then think about that. I want us to be zealous. Folks, when it comes to supporting missionaries, I'm zealous about it. I love doing it. I promise you, if you'll listen to the Bible and if you'll let me present the program, and if you'll decide to get more involved in missions, I'm telling you, one of the things I say often, and I heard my dad say it. He said, you know, so much of what we do here as a pastor in trying to, come on, affect you in a good way for good things is to make the judgment seat of Christ better for you, more enjoyable for you. I think there's a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you, we may get to the throne of grace and find out the judgment seat that the sacrifice that we gave to worldwide missions, I think without a doubt, is going to produce more souls in heaven than anything that we're doing in our Jerusalem. Right. And of course it is. I mean, it makes sense. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. Yes, I want to be a part of it. I'm not being drugged to it. I'm trying to drag other people to it. Zealous in our prayers for our missionaries. We're gonna equip you to do that. Zealous in our encouragement to our missionaries. Man, again, so much of us, if we could just learn to put ourselves in people's positions, if we'd stop and think. I was talking about the characters in the Bible and them being real, and you're going to learn so many lessons by making them real and putting yourself in those positions. Folks, listen, you have to do the same thing with missionaries or they're not going to matter to you. Okay, they're real people. And you know what? They face real problems, and they deal with real homesickness. And many of them have gone into very fortified satanic strongholds. And you don't know. You don't know what a text or an email from someone they don't even know, but just says to them, hey, I just want to let you know. Our theme this month is worldwide mission. Our pastors have challenged us to do this. And wouldn't you know, our family gathered around this morning and we held hands at the table and we called every one of your names out to God. And I can't imagine what it is like to be where you're at. But thank you for doing it. Thank you for being there. We are so honored to have just a little part in helping you do what God's called you to do. Don't give up. Don't quit. You don't know. You don't know. You know, Dan DeLong served in Australia. And, you know, me and Cheryl went and by the churches, with the church's help, and went and visited him. And he was over there for years. I mean, decades. And he comes to this pulpit last year. And he says to everybody, in the entire time me and my wife was on the mission field, one supporting pastor and his wife came and visited us. And he points and he starts to cry. And folks, that's just not on us. We couldn't have done it without, it was a church thing, okay? You don't know. You don't know. Okay, we don't have to know, but we can pray. Zealous in our encouragement, zealous in our personal involvement, zealous in our sacrifice. March, we're going to talk about encouragement. And folks, encouragement is such an important thing. We're going to be the difference through encouragement. Our elderly folks need us more than they're getting us. Okay? And it's not any one of us trying to do all of it. It's all of us doing some of it. And we're going to empower you. We're going to equip you. We're going to challenge you. But if it just becomes, by the end of this month, we've got to go see two elderly people. I don't know when we're going to fit it on our schedule. And so we drive over there with the idea of how quick we can get out of here, because I know they're going to want to talk. And what are we doing? Okay, by the way, look right up here. Every one of you young people are going to be elderly one day if God tarries and if God's merciful. One of the reasons you should never despise the old is because in the same way you treat them, God may see to it you're treated the same way. Okay, so think about it. We're going to talk about that. Those out in ministry, I've mentioned it this morning. I want to make a difference in their life. I don't want to do it with zeal. April, we're going to talk about bringing someone to Jesus. Be the difference by bringing someone to Jesus. That Paul was eat up with it. He wrote this, you know, by inspiration. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel's that they might be saved. Sounded like me, something was burning. Romans 9, a chapter before that, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I mean, folks, I'm going to tell you something. He stoked the fire, and he kept that thing burning, and he walked into a town, and he looked at the Jewish people, and he literally said, God, if I could trade places, I would go to hell if I could see all of these Jewish people saved. I'd take their place, but I can't, God, so help me to get the gospel to them. 1 Corinthians 15, he said this to the church of Corinth, by the way, who had gotten off track. Come on. They got zealous about anything and everything that was carnal and worldly. But he said this, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, well, all of you, I'm taking an entire book. Think about this. Corinthians, 15 chapters. He's been writing an entire book, having to deal with all their foolishness. And he said, let me tell you what the saddest part is. The thing you ought to be ashamed about. You're all tied up in this wickedness and worldliness and carnality. And there's people all around you that have no knowledge of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's what he said. You know, it sounded like me, Paul, had this thing stoked up. It was a, may be the difference by random acts of kindness. You know, folks, it's not only important to be kind, it's important to be zealous in our kindness. Okay, think, we're gonna give you so many cool opportunities in May. I can lay out, I'm gonna set the table, and I'm gonna cook the meal, and I'm gonna put out the invite, but are you gonna partake? Okay, in June, be the difference by investing in young people. Folks, listen, these young people around, we're so blessed. But they don't just deserve, come on, a half-hearted investment. Their lives ought to be touched on a regular basis by people that are zealous for God, zealous for the Lord, zealous in their service. Parents, the way that they hear you talking about church on the way home affects them. And if you're not zealous about it, how do you think your kids are going to be zealous about it? Think about that. Be the difference through patriotism and prayer. July, we're going to have a good time. And Brother Harding, we had him booked for, I told you there was a change, and he's still coming. But I wanted him to come in July, and we had a date set, and then he had a schedule conflict, and there was another pastor that really wanted him, and I didn't really want to give him that date. And he said, Brother Ross, I told you yes first, and I'll just call them and tell them. But he said, you're a friend, I would never make this call. You're a dear friend. But he said, whatever you want. And you know, the Bible sometimes is irritating. Sometimes I'm not zealous about wanting to obey. And God just said this. Isn't it amazing? In honor, preferring one another. I wish that other pastor loved that verse. Yes. But the Holy Spirit didn't bring it to him, but he was bringing it to me. And I said, when can you come? Then he said, I can come the first Sunday in August instead. And so we're gonna do that. And so it'll be the Sunday right after July, and it'll be fine. And we're able to help another ministry. Not zealously, but we're going to help them. Begrudgingly, but we're going to help them. But to think about this, to be able to, 250th anniversary of America. Yes. Folks, listen to me. I love this country. I love America. I mean, I can't look at that thing without something happening inside of here. Every time we say the pledge, every time we do the national anthem, folks, listen to me. Every one of those colors means something, but let me tell you what speaks to me is the red. There's just too many people that have paid the ultimate price for us to allow our nation to be stolen by a bunch of devils and a bunch of perverts. And I love this country. And listen, how do we stop all that, preacher? We've got to do it one soul at a time. If the church would do the right thing, if we'd really get right ourselves, if my people, which are called by my name, that's where it's got to start. And so we're gonna focus on that, and we're gonna celebrate 250th anniversary. I promise you, you're gonna love July, and the first week of August. And I haven't broke it to the ladies yet, but August is be the difference by loving your family. And so every Sunday we're going to have every Sunday in August we had planned where we're going to focus on a different member of the family and just appreciate them. And it was gonna start by appreciating the wives and the mothers. And unfortunately, that got bumped. The next Sunday is husbands and fathers, and we're going to be able to stay on track on there. So, but, you know, ladies, we'll fit you in sometime down the road, you know. You don't have to look at the face of some of the women right now, you know. Anyway, we're going to take good care of you. We're going to take good care. And that's going to be such a great month. Watch this. Shouldn't we be zealous? If zeal is going to be anywhere, the right kind of zeal for the good thing, shouldn't it start at home? Amen. Husbands, it's time to get zealous about your marriage again. It's time, come on, wives, time to get zealous about your husband and your relationship and your marriage. It's time to get zealous. Come on, kids, it's time to get zealous about appreciating mom and dad and honoring mom and dad. Stop taking them for granted. We're gonna have a very, it'll be a very positive thing. But every single week, I'm gonna challenge you, okay, in this matter of showing that level of appreciation. Come on, let's honor these people. Every part of the family is God designed, and everyone is extremely important. And if we're going to be zealous about anything, let's be zealous at start at home. I got to hurry. But August, September, be the difference by impacting our city. And Jasonville, in a very unique way, I want to draw our attention to our hometown. And I think you're going to be fascinated at some of the things I want to challenge you to do. By the way, patriotism, I want to tell you about so many things, but I want us to be zealous about that flag again. I'm sick of a bunch of people burning our flag. Okay, well, preacher, I'd never burn it. Do you fly it? Now we're gonna take some time. You're gonna have, if you involve yourself, get zealous about this, it's gonna be life changing for your family. Kids can be raised patriotic, but you've got to do stuff like we did the other day. They've got to have interaction with veterans. I get so many things, Brother Morrison. By the way, I'm so glad that he's taken Operation Think of It. Can you tell that he's zealously affected? And I'm so thankful. I mean that. You and Mandy to take this on. They're busy people. Come on, we're all busy people. And I told him I want us to identify all of the cemeteries. You know, we can find a listing of every cemetery in Greene County. Come on, everything's on. You can search anywhere. And I'm going to have different people sign up for different cemeteries in our area. And we're going to provide. We'll provide them for you. We'll have boxes of American flags. But sometime during the month of July, I think one of the life-changing things you can do is take your family to a cemetery. And then go through and take a look. Because most of the time, those that have served in the military, it's identified on their tombstone. Not always. And we can't know everything, but there's enough of them in every cemetery. Wouldn't it be neat if you just told your kids, I want all of you to take an American flag, and you start over there, and mom and dad will kind of watch where everybody's at, and we'll kind of go through. I just want you to go until you find somebody, and then get our attention, and we'll all come over and join you. And by the way, let's take a moment, just look at their name, think about them. Come on, can you see this, Dad, as a moment? You got your kids right there, and say, you know, nobody probably, very few people maybe even know who this person is, except their immediate family. But they gave something. They served. Be able to place that flag, be able to kind of grab hands and say, Lord, I just want to take a minute and thank you for, all right, go Easter egg hunting again. You know, go look for another one. Okay, you think about that. Patriotism in the heart of a young person is not going to be there unless we do things very purposefully to put it there. We got some neat things, okay? Be the difference by impacting our city. October, be the difference through discipleship. And we'll equip you with some things to be able to do. Be the difference by giving thanks in November. And that's, well, that's just the November theme. And no. We're going to challenge you to put that, come on, put action to it, put zeal to it, give you an opportunity. You know what? I'm going to pass out and equip everybody. What you do with it, it's between you and God. But don't stand one of these eight judgment seat and say, well, my pastor never encouraged us to do anything. Okay? So think about it. There's some things I'm going to ask you to do very specific. There's a lot of things in these things I'm going to ask is for you to learn to be spirit-led. I say, hey, let's do these couple things as a church. Now, what did God lead you to do beyond those things? What did he speak to your heart about? You know, listen, folks, everything shouldn't have to come from your pastor. If he assigns me to do something, we'll do it, and I appreciate that. But do you realize God can guide you to do many things in all of these arenas? And so it gives you opportunity. Be the difference through giving thanks. December, be the difference by celebrating Christ. Now, we're done. But folks, if we're going to make the type of impact we need to make, then we need to be zealously affected in a good thing. You've got to bring the zeal. You've got to get the fire burning. Let's get in our Bibles. Let's get into the prayer closet. And if you've shifted around in your heart and say, preacher, all I'm seeing is cold coals, then let's go get some wood and let's start over. But I'm telling you, zeal is a good thing when you turn it loose on a good thing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had here and so many things, Lord, that we can affect. And Lord, it's very convicting to see the devil's people so zealous and God's people, it's hard to find a pulse. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that as we go through the rest of this month into a new year, that we would just get a hold of the horns of the altar a little bit. Just say, God, you know what? Give me what I need in this area of my life. It's impossible to be the difference without zeal. It's impossible to be the difference without zeal. The zeal of his house hath eaten him up. There was a fire burning in the heart of Jesus Christ. That's why he affected so many people. That's what drove him. That's why he went the extra mile and the extra mile and the extra mile. Help us, Lord, just be a little bit like Jesus as much as we can. We ask these things in Jesus' name.